Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 32, and I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis, and with me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium, Tony Estrella. Titanium!
Hello, hey, Professor.
College drop-off weekend.
Hey, I always tell you to take me to school. Well, we did a lot of taking to school, don't we?
No doubt.
We took a lot of kids to school this weekend.
Did some driving, yeah. Dropped some kids off at school, move them into apartments and frat houses.
Yeah. Put a lot of shit together, like closet sets, desks, chairs. You know, when they move off campus, they need a lot of other stuff.
Oh, my God. It's and crazy. I don't even want to talk about how much money we spent at Target.
I spent the same amount in Walmart.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll compare notes after the show.
I think our wives did. Betsy and Nancy compared notes, and we were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And yeah. I found a great dresser at Salvation Army. Great dresser. It's never going anywhere but his room, but right. It's a good dresser.
Right. Well, and we've said the same thing. It's like 98% of what's down there is going to stay down there in some form or fashion. In a storage unit or wherever she's moving to next, or we'll figure that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's get going. We are very excited to bring you episode 32, and we're going to start by thanking our patrons, the listeners that bring the show to you, patreon.com/supertalk. You want to support the show directly? Guess what? You can donate $1 for every episode we do. We don't do an episode, you don't donate anything. We do an episode, you donate $1. Pretty simple. And we thank those that are doing it. We'll toss some goodies out to these guys every now and then, just to thank them again, but really appreciate the people who have chosen to support the show directly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it, the fans, the diehard fans that are out there weekly and supporting us and following us. We appreciate it.
And look, we're 32 episodes in, and Titanium decided to go to the bullpen. He called for the righty.
Yeah.
He said, I'm gonna bring somebody in who can throw a really good curveball. And so we're gonna switch things up this week. Instead of like spending the first 8 to 10 minutes of the show talking about our sponsors, we're going to have a section of the show be sponsored, and then we'll talk about them at that point in time. So let's just jump right into the content. We'll get into the review section to begin with, and that's brought to us by our good friends at Gooder Sunglasses.
Gooder Sunglasses, yeah. Great little sunglass brand, polarized, non-slip, and their motto is fun, fun, fun. They responded to some of our Instagram posts about that, and we really appreciate them.
And remind me, Titanium, how much does a pair of Gooder sunglasses cost?
Well, they're not going to break the bank, Professor. They're only $25.
Oh, my gosh.
For unbelievable quality. I mean, I wore them all weekend.
I drove 7 hours to Tennessee and wore those sunglasses, and they didn't slip. They didn't bounce. Polarized lenses were awesome. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Thank you, Mike Mountain, for sending the goodie bag to the professor and Titanium.
And we'll keep hawking them because they're just a good product for a great price. So go out there and support these guys. Gooder.com, Goodr.com if you want to get yourself a pair. All right, well, let's get into the reviews. We got a couple of new things to review this week. So we got our first episode of What If, the title of the episode, and I love the way they're doing this. They're titling each episode with the question, what if Captain Carter were the first adventurer?
Yeah.
And that's really kind of the concept behind the episode, right?
Peggy
One
Carter.
Moment in time or some event causes a shift in what happened from what we know to something new in this particular episode.
And then it just trickles down from there, right?
Yeah.
Just very similar to Loki. A Nexus event happens, something changes, and it changes the way the trajectory of the story or the timeline that was in. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was great.
I like the way that Jeffrey Wright narrated the shift in what we know very well.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about, we all know the story of the first Avenger and Steve Rogers and Chosen, you know, and then he says, and then you hear the dialogue between the characters and Peggy Carter, they ask Peggy Carter, you probably want to go upstairs and get a bird's eye view. And she says, no, I'm going to stay here. And he goes, that's it. That's the moment when she decided to stay there. That's what happened. And then from there, everything trickles on. And we find out that she for many reasons, which, you know, we can kind of get into, but, you know, Steve Rogers gets shot and
spoiler alert.
And she has to jump in, and Howard Stark was offered, and he's like, look, I just pressed the buttons. I'm not doing any of this.
I'm the button pressing guy.
Yeah.
I'm no fucking hero.
But she jumps in and takes the super soldier serum and becomes Captain Carter and kicks some ass.
Absolutely kicks ass. I mean, I thought it was awesome. And Jeffrey Wright, his voice, I could listen to him all day long.
Right.
He's just got that cool tone to his voice. And as the Watcher, he's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, perfect. Yeah. Steve gets shot. He can't get into the machine. She jumps in. The general's not real happy about it.
Yeah. And if you recognize that voice, that's, I think, Bradley Whitfield is the actor's name. He's been on a ton of things.
Yeah.
He's got like bushy red hair.
Yeah.
He was on The West Wing. He's been in a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him, you'd recognize him, but he voiced that character, and they didn't bring back guy who was in the
Lee. Something Lee, right?
Last name of Lee, right? What is his name?
Tommy Lee Jones.
Jeez. Lee's in his name.
Lee is in his
name. They didn't bring Tommy Lee Jones back to play that same role, so they recast it, and Bradley Whitfield played that character. But, you know, and again, just kind of the naysayer, you know, no woman's going to be on the front lines.
Epic failure.
Yeah.
$6 million or something like that, which back then was a ton of money. I mean, that was could be billions, so...
But I love the way that they kind of twisted the story and changed a lot of the things that we know. And Steve Rogers ends up, you know, so she ends up stealing the Tesseract from the Red Skull. Then Howard Stark says, hey, I got a good idea of how I can use the Tesseract, and designs basically the first Iron Man suit.
Right.
Way before Tony Stark was even a concept.
Right.
And powers it with the Tesseract. And Steve Rogers is the person chosen to pilot that. And it's like an indestructible just... destruction machine along with Captain Carter. They just basically decimate Hydra.
Yeah.
But then the Red Skull kind of throws some things around and, you know, it has some plans of his own. And
yeah.
And a very short episode. I think it was under 30 minutes, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too long. Really cool fight scenes, what they did when they were in the air and she was being tossed from plane to plane. I mean, that was a really cool scene.
Yeah.
I just watched it again, and I really liked that scene. Like, the animation,
one of your big questions going into this. You know, are you going to like the animation? Are you going to like the style? Is it going to be too cartoony, or is it going to be, you know, action-driven? Like, what did you think about it? I liked it.
I did, too. I thought the animation was really cool. It wasn't cartoony. Even though Invincible was a little cartoony,
right.
This wasn't as much. It wasn't, you know, claymation or stop motion, but it was cool. I thought it worked. And the story, yes, it followed the same tracks as the first Avenger, the Captain America, but there were nuances to it that kept me engaged the whole time. It wasn't exactly followed along. So
yeah, and Sebastian Stan, you know, voiced Bucky Barnes in the movie. I mean, they basically brought back everybody from the original first Avenger movie.
I don't think Chris Evans did Steve
Rogers. Did he not do Steve Rogers?
I don't think he was the only one that did not.
Yeah.
But everybody else was.
Yeah.
I mean, even Stanley Tucci, right?
The
professor, he did those. I think he only had three lines.
Right. And the guy, he played Professor Erskine, and the guy who played, who is the doctor, the Hydra doctor.
Right.
Zoloff.
Yeah.
Same.
My power broker.
The same guy who voiced him in the movies came back and had like two lines in the whole thing. For a line. What's going on?
You know what? They spent the money to get the voices. So I think it paid off. I thought it was great. I still think he's the power broker, though. I think Zoloff's still the power broker.
I mean, I thought it was successful. I mean, I think, and from what we understand, not only is this going to be a series, we saw at the end, again, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it, at the end of the show, she has to defeat the Hydra monster and pushes it back through the portal the Tesseract created and end up putting herself 70 years in the future. She comes out in front of Nick Fury and Hawkeye, and she's 70 years in the future, just like Steve Rogers went 70 years in the future by being frozen in the ice. She did it by pushing back the Hydra monster, and now she's the modern-day version of Captain America, which is now going to be Captain Britain.
So a couple of things. Thank goodness that you were here when I was watching it for the second time, at least for the half part. I thought that the Tesseract was still in the door, and when the Red Skrull brought that door back, he had pushed another button that he was staring at, and it brought out another Tesseract, the real one, and the first one was fakes. But you said that originally when they captured the Tesseract, Howard Stark used it to power the big Hydra Stomper, quote, Iron Man machine.
That Steve
Hydra
Rogers was piloting.
And that's how they regained it, which was cool. I get that. And I'm glad you pointed that out to me because that kind of was confusing and I got lost there. Another thing is that I thought the tentacle creature that was coming through the portal that the Red Skull had opened to be the Hydra big crusher and the big monster for Hydra.
Yeah, you thought it was Shuman Gorath, which is supposedly going to be the villain in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, because I heard
America Chavez.
Correct. Yeah, I thought that
you're reading too much Dark Web.
I know. Well, no, I thought that What If is going to have elements to what we're going to see in the future, and they're going to add things that we should pay attention to in What If, because they will be in future movies and stuff. So I thought that that was Shuman Gorath, but you said that no, yeah. That is the Hydra creature that they based their symbol on, and the Red Skull found it and opened a portal to bring
that was
it to
his grand
dimension.
Plan was I found this mythical Hydra being that cool. that our society was or our you know evil empire was built around, and I created a portal, opened a portal to it, and I don't think we're gonna see that monster again. I think that was it served a purpose in this episode, yeah. And then we'll kind of move from there, but. Again, I think these are going to connect, and I believe next week is going to be the "What if T'Challa became Star-Lord"
right.
episode. And so we're going to kind of get again a performance by Chadwick Boseman
yep.
playing the T'Challa character, you know, as being picked up by Yondu and the other Ravagers. I mean, I'm looking forward to this now, and how are they going to? I think the first few episodes may be standalones, but ultimately, it seems like they're all going to interconnect at some point in time, they're all going to meet each other. So a lot of these heroes.
Oh, we've seen it. We've seen it in some of the previews that they all get together at some point, which would be kind of cool. I think they're going to have that Avengers moment, you know, like the
right.
scene where the camera kind of pans around all the new characters that they've kind of the alternate characters that they've kind of built. So I think we're going to have that at the end. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Killmonger saving Tony Stark and becoming a
I think
a
that
hero.
Might be the third episode.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. That one looks really good.
I think the name of that episode, though, is going to be What If Somebody Killed the Avengers Before They Became the Avengers. So I think there's a scene where we see Tony Stark in the donut hole and like the Avenger, whatever. You remember that one Avenger,
yeah.
Iron Man 2, I think it was, when he's sitting in the donut hole. But then he ends up dying, and they're like, well, what happens if somebody... And I think that's the episode with Killmonger in it, and I think we'll kind of... I'm just talking about things that are in trailers, so
yeah.
I think that's the name of that episode, though. I think the first three episodes have been released to reviewers or, you know, people other than Super Talk.
Ugh.
Disney.
Come on.
Marvel.
Get us on that list.
But yes, we'll get there when we get there. Right?
Yeah, I also heard that we're not going to get the 10 episodes like we were told. We're going to get 9.
No,
right?
I said 9 last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty certain it was 9. Yeah, I believe good. We said that last week. All right. So yeah, it was good. I mean, I enjoyed it, and I can't. You know, I'm looking forward to the next one.
Pleasantly surprised about the animation. I think this is perfect filler. Yep.
You know, we're going to get Shang-Chi in, what, 3 weeks? You
agreed.
Know, we're getting that in 3 weeks, so, hey, this
we'll
is...
talk about more of that in the news.
Yeah, but this is something we're really looking forward to kind
yeah.
of fill the gap. And this is going to take us again through, you know, a pretty substantial part of October, and then we might get something else. Who knows?
Yeah, not Captain Britain, but Captain Carter, so I thought it was cool.
Yeah, very yeah. cool. All right, so next episode is coming out on Wednesday. That'll be fun to watch.
Wednesday, yeah.
And we also got, you know, kind of a little bit of a pleasant surprise. So we knew that, and we had talked about this a couple episodes ago, that Titans was coming back to HBO Max. Really excited about that season starting up, season 3. And it came on Wednesday. We were really excited to see that as well. And lo and behold, we got the first 3 episodes.
3 episodes. They
boom!
Launched. Wow.
They just drop all three episodes on us at once. And
I think season 1 and 2 are now on, is it TNT?
They did. I think they kind of binge, you know, pushed them on TNT. So they were doing them like you could wake up Saturday morning and watch the first season or, you know,
okay.
all day Saturday.
Uh-huh.
But I believe they're on demand on TNT. So if you don't have HBO, you should be able to get them on demand on TNT right now.
Yeah, and that's what I've been telling people. They're like, oh, I see the, is Titans any good? I said, it's great, but I would highly recommend going to and watching season one and two. I think the backstory is necessary.
And character development.
Is necessary for season three. It tells a lot of character development. You're right, Professor.
And here's what I noticed in just watching the first episode of this season, season three now. The actors and actresses that are playing these roles are much more comfortable in their roles than they were when they first started this 2 years ago or two seasons ago. They're much more comfortable in those roles. The costumes got like a major upgrade. You can see that they added some budget to this show because the special effects are better. Yeah. The costumes are better.
Way better.
And it's really, really, I was so looking forward to this coming out. And the fact that we got I got to watch three episodes this weekend was just like fantastic. I was really excited.
But you do need to watch, it's not one of those series you can jump in the middle. You do need to watch season one and two to understand where Batman is coming from.
Especially season two.
Yeah, especially season two. But I think it was, they hit the ground running.
Boy. I thought it was going to take a few episodes before they got to where they already have gotten with the first three. I don't want to spoil everything for everybody, but they're playing on a storyline from the comic books called the Red Hood storyline. And I won't kind of get into too much details. I think we've touched on it a little bit in the past. But there is a villain that comes to Gotham called the Red Hood who kind of takes over as kind of one of the new crime bosses in the city. And this is not a Titan storyline. It's really a Batman storyline. And Nightwing was involved not as part of the Titans, but as part of the Batman family of Batman, Nightwing, Robin, Batgirl, and all these others. But what he in this show, which is they're playing on that Red Hood storyline, we do see the Red Hood in episode two, he shows up.
Yeah.
But that first episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're like starting really quick with this whole Red Hood storyline, and the entire Titans team, who is based in San Francisco, picks up, and by the start of episode two, they're in Gotham.
Yeah.
So this, I believe, a good portion of this series and this season is going to be in Gotham City.
Sure.
And we see Batman, or we see Bruce Wayne, at least. We still have yet to see Batman right. on the show, but we saw Bruce Wayne several times in the first couple episodes. But Nightwing, Dick Grayson, convinces his team to come join him in Gotham to help figure out what's going on with the Red Hood and all these other, and so they all show up. The entire Titans team is there. And we've seen the first three episodes. I don't know if you want to kind of get into the details behind all this stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that happened and things I don't want to talk about, but things I do want to, after the fact. But.
Yeah, I mean, well, spoiler warning. I mean, if people haven't seen it, you want to go see it, go watch it, but do you want to do spoilers or not? I mean, our show is about spoilers, so, we're going to do spoilers.
Well, I mean, okay, we can do that. So, spoiler warning, if let's say you want to forward through the next couple of minutes.
Yeah.
If you don't want to hear this, but we'll just say in episode three, really factors into, there's a part of the Titans called Hawk and Dove.
Yep.
And it's a male and female, and they used
to be. Don't spoil that.
What?
The Hawk and Dove ending.
Oh, you don't want to spoil that.
Not that, but I want you to talk about the Red Hood because...
Well, the Red Hood ends up being Jason Todd, who is...
Explain them who Jason Todd is.
So Dick Grayson was the original Robin from Batman and Robin. Everybody mm-hmm. knows that from the comic books and the 60s television series. And that's Dick Grayson. He was part of the Flying Graysons circus family, ends up becoming Robin. He gets in the first couple of seasons of Titans, you find out that he became estranged from Batman and he was very resentful of how he treated him. And so he left him. And then the first two seasons of Titans is about him becoming the next generation of himself, which is now Nightwing.
Nightwing. So he Dick Grayson becomes Nightwing. He's still leading the Titans.
He jettisons the Robin costume and persona and becomes Nightwing.
In the meantime, Batman has taken on a new Robin.
Right. When Dick Grayson left, he brought on a new orphan. His name was Jason Todd, and is training him to be Robin. And he was Robin in basically most of season two of the Titans TV show. He was in that show. Well,
a little more psychotic.
He ends up getting killed in the first episode of this show, theoretically, by the Joker.
Right.
And then the Red Hood shows up, and then we get revealed in episode three of the series that he is the Red Hood. And we knew that from the comics. Jason Todd is the Red Hood in the comic books. In the comic books, he was revived by Ra's al Ghul using the Lazarus Pit. We're not really sure how he was revived here and now, but we're going to learn that.
They
asked if it was him, and they said no.
No, it couldn't have been. Yeah.
So
I thought it was great. I mean, my biggest criticism of season one was there was a lot of like dialogue that was important to the show, but it was more like this slow, really slow parts of the show. You gotta muscle through that. You gotta muscle through the slow dialogue where the characters are kind of talking to each other, and it could have been a 2-minute conversation, but it ends up being a 10-minute conversation.
I think they tried really hard to have us as the audience fall in love with these well-known characters.
Right.
And they tried way too hard to make those characters like their comic book selves.
Right.
And you saw in season two, they were like, all right, we're over that. These people can now just be who they are, and they can be the characters we've asked them to portray on the show. So that was great. And again, there's so many things we don't know. There's so many characters. The team as it stands right now, the Titans team as it stands right now, is Nightwing, Hawk, Dove, Starfire, who has her powers back, so she's Starfire, Beast Boy, and Superboy. So we do have all of them on the team, right? And Crypto. Yeah, the dog, which is great.
It's a great character.
So that's the team as it stands right now, but we still don't know where Raven is. We still don't know what's happening with Wonder Girl, potentially.
Wonder Girl, we don't know.
She died at the end of season two.
Darkfire. Starfire's sister. We know where Starfire's
having some crazy wacky
family issues.
Well, no, she's having some wacky like
visions
and like blacking out and showing up in the middle of the street, and you know, she doesn't know what's going on. So
yeah, that's weird too. They need to answer that. So we don't know where Raven is, right? She hasn't even been in
Know she's on this season because we've seen her in the trailers. So.
Yeah, but 3 episodes and no
she's
Raven.
In Themyscira, as far as everybody in the show has said, she went to Themyscira with Wonder Girl and Wonder Girl's coffin at the end of season two. She went there to see if she could potentially do something because she's got some pretty crazy power. So
yeah.
So we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm looking forward to this, and we're going to be on it till
absolutely.
The end, right?
Yeah. All right. And then I did want to just mention real quickly in the review section, if you haven't seen it recently, Marvel has been continuously dropping more content into that Marvel Legends show on Disney+. And I just popped in there the other day. I'm like, holy crap, there's 12 episodes in there now.
Wow.
So it started off with the reason behind the show was to kind of get the audience used to...
Re-engaged with...
If you forgot who these characters are.
Right, like who's Wanda? What I don't remember what Wanda did.
The first two episodes were Wanda Maximoff and Vision. And we kind of got those before WandaVision. And then they did Falcon. They did the Winter Soldier. Yep. Sharon Carter for the Falcon and Winter Soldier series. And then they got Loki. We got Loki kind of a precursor to the Loki series. And it's great. They just dropped like 5 this week. They did Black Widow right before the Black Widow movie came out, which was great. And then we got Peggy Carter one. So we got that one this past week. We got the Avengers Initiative. We got the Ravagers.
Wow.
What else? There was another one in there, too. So we got a bunch. And they're all trying to set up... So I think we're getting one like before each... So we got the Ravagers was the one that just got released this past week.
Nice.
So I think we might get an Iron Man or a Killmonger one, or maybe even both, before next week's episode, which is that one. Yeah. So, I mean, it's great. So if you haven't checked it out, go... And again, all it is just kind of... It's highlights from all the movies, and you're just going to see clips of them from the movies, but you're not going to learn anything new. But if you can't remember who these characters are, it's kind of a refresher.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to kind of, you know, study up for what's coming out.
Right.
Yeah, I like those. Those are really cool.
All right. Well, let's get into the news section. We got plenty of news to talk about this week, and the news section is brought to you by BSB. BSBswag.com.
Be sexy, bitches. BSB, I love it.
Big
it's apparel, big brand.
Big sexy bass.
Big sexy bass.
Bringing sexy back.
All of it. You know, it's BSB. It's a lifestyle brand.
I'm sporting the shirt. I'm sporting the hat. Go check them out. BSBswag.com. You know, really cool stuff. And great price, great quality. I mean, you're going to love it. So go check them out. BSBswag.com. All right. We got a lot of news to talk about. First one, why don't you jump into this one, Titanium, because I know you... pulled this one up.
So,
surprise.
No.
And I'm angry.
You are angry.
I'm angry because we didn't get credit for it.
All right. So the CEO, the new CEO, Bob Eisner's out. So Bob, how do you say his last name? Chapek?
Yeah.
So the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek, confirms that Free Guy, which is out now, and Shang-Chi will be released exclusively in theaters. And then it will be on demand 45 days later, which I think is brilliant. I think it's really smart.
And where did we? I kind of heard that idea before. That seems very, very familiar. Did we hear that anywhere before? I heard somebody talking about giving a period of time for exclusivity in the theaters and then going straight to on demand from that?
Professor, if we were to be graded on a batting average, we'd be batting 700. I mean, excluding
go
Mephisto,
back and listen to last episode.
Go back and listen to all of our episodes. We've been calling stuff that has been happening in the future. Way back, episode 5, we were calling shit.
As a matter of fact, we were applying for jobs with Disney last week and said, we have the perfect way to solve this problem. This is when we were talking about, you know, the lawsuit of, you know, Scarlett Johansson and Disney and everything. Here's what you just give the theater a period of exclusivity. It doesn't need to be indefinite. Just give them, like, you know, a month or 2 months or whatever, 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Damn close, 45 days, damn close to what you said.
I was like, and then
makes
do
sense.
All demand.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And, you know, I don't know, but this guy, Bob, I mean, he said something like, he came out and said something to, I guess it was an investors group or something like that. He said, Shang-Chi is an experiment. And what he meant was, it was an experiment to see how the theaters would do. And then
so
the 45
he was more referencing the plan for theater exclusivity followed by an on-demand release than he was talking about the content of the movie
Correct.
Itself. And the actors and actresses got pissed, thought that he was talking about, oh, what you know.
We're no experiment.
Asian Americans and, you know, Far Eastern culture and Kung Fu movies is an experiment by Disney.
They
know?
Jumped the gun there because I think if they had really slowed down and asked him or listened before they jumped on social media to defend it,
I think it's a non-issue.
I think it's a non-issue,
too. I think that's people, and I think fans, making more of an item, a news item, than there really should be made of.
I mean, speaking of that, I read an article on one of the trades. I think it was comicbook.com. This guy wrote this article, and I swear to God it was clickbait, and I'm so fucking pissed at this guy. He wrote an article saying, and he gathered, now he had some evidence. He gathered like a handful of Twitter announcements from people, fans, that were saying, you know, well, you just lost my money because I'm going to wait till it comes out on Disney Plus free. They're talking about Shang-Chi and going to the theaters. The COVID thing is too soon. I'm not going to go see it in theaters. And you know, they're making a huge mistake. How dare them think that we're going to go just rush to the theaters because they tell us to. It's dangerous, blah, 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 blah. Listen, you do you. The professor and I are going to go see it in the theaters. That's damn sure we're going to see it in the theaters. But I think this guy kind of made a bigger thing out of it than not. And selfishly, they're
and
doing
what was it. What did he say? What was
they're basically, he was saying that the fans, the Marvel fans, generalizing, the Marvel fans aren't going to go to the theaters to see this because...
And they're completely wrong.
They're completely wrong. He took a handful of Twitter feeds, and there were fans that did say this, but come on, just because they have their fears, they can do them. If they don't want to see it in the theater, that's fine. But to generalize all Marvel fans...
I think that would be a safe assumption for the general moviegoer, that there's some trepidation out there. There's still some hesitancy to get back into the theaters. I get it.
Okay.
But for the people like you and me who are diehard, hardcore Marvel fans who've been waiting for this movie to come out for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting 45 days.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And what they want to do is they want to stay in hibernation and they want it to be released and they think that they can pressure Disney
to release it to on demand earlier because of their hesitancy and their influence of people stay home, don't go see it in the theaters.
Exactly. Exactly, and this guy writes a big article about it, giving them the platform, and I guess that's what it's all about.
We'll see.
That's fine, but...
Let's just wait and see.
Okay.
I've said two things about this movie. The first thing I've said about this Shang-Chi movie is that I think the Marvel audience will gravitate towards and hold on to this movie more than we think they were giving them credit for.
Yeah.
Because it is that offshoot character that's not the core Marvel character of the superhero, yep. like Spider-Man and you know, Captain America. And it's not the core. This is a kind of an offshoot superhero. They did this earlier with another group of characters called the Guardians of the Galaxy. Correct. Nobody knew who the hell they were.
That is right.
And it's one of Marvel's most successful movies, or now they've had two of them, and one of their most successful properties.
Professor's now. Preaching, people. Bring a notebook.
I believe that we are going to enjoy this movie and the content of this movie and the characters of this movie much more than we think we are right now. I think this is going to be a slam dunk hit, and I think the reviews are going to be incredibly positive, and I think it's going to do very well from a likability perspective. The other thing is, I think it's going to do much better in the box office than people are thinking.
I would absolutely
Labor
agree
Day
with
weekend,
you. And whether or not this has any bearing on what's going to happen or not, I don't know. But I tell you what, when Black Widow come out, I didn't have novice like I do with Shang-Chi calling me saying, "I can't wait to see this movie. I want to see this movie with you. We got to see this movie." I mean, people novice that really aren't into it haven't seen almost any Marvel movies are going to come out of the woodwork to see this movie.
And I think
at least in my personal life, that's what's happening now.
That's what Marvel's hoping, is that the people who aren't into the superhero movie
right.
will go see this one, and it's an entry point into Marvel and the MCU for that group.
Agree. Right. I think this movie is going to be special, and I hope I'm going to go see it in the theater, and I hope it does gangbusters.
I'm with you. All right. And then you shot me a picture this week. I was like blown away.
Do you believe that? So what I sent the professor was a screenshot that somebody took in an editing booth of the Moon Knight costume. So what'd you think?
I was blown. Number one, I was blown away by how comic book accurate it was. And as a matter of fact, I was blown away by how much better it looked than I thought that they could have made it look in the show.
Same here. I thought, because I've seen so many renderings and so many comic book versions of his costume, and I was like, man, I really hope they get it right. This is one of the, and I've said this before, several episodes, this is one of the series that I'm very excited about, one of my favorite comic book characters. And when I saw this, and go Google it online, please go Google it, go take a look at it. I'll pop it up on screen for YouTube right now. I'll just get a screenshot of it. But let me tell you something. It looks badass. It looks so badass. So
here's what I love, badass mummy,
like a superhero
That's
mummy. Isn't
so,
that awesome?
So his comic book costume looks nothing like what this looks like.
Yeah.
But his character is based on a guy gets rescued by the Egyptian god of the moon.
Yes.
And ultimately gets possessed by him to some extent, or at least empowered by him, or he thinks he is.
Yeah.
Or I won't get into too much of it because it's craziness.
Made a deal with him to be his avatar on Earth, mind, so what?
But the fact that it's now, they're using the, and again, we're basing this on Egyptian history
lore.
And Egyptian lore.
Yeah.
That it's now kind of got a mummy look to his costume. Oh my God, it's so
badass.
Awesome.
It's so badass.
I was so fired up.
I was so happy.
When you said it to me,
that.
I was like, oh my God, that looks so good.
It does look good. It just gets me so excited for the show. And whether it was on purpose or not, it was brilliant. I think the costume is brilliant. I can't wait. Ethan Hawke kind of has been on the road doing some shows. I think he was on a late night show and said some stuff about how they're fighting good and evil, and he based his character. He's going to be the big villain in the series, by the way, Ethan Hawke. He based his character on Koresh, the wacko from Waco. Yeah. David Koresh.
Yeah.
He based his character on that
religious
cult leader.
Zealot.
Yeah. So I don't know. Some say he's going to be the prophet, the character in the comics for the prophet. So we'll see. But I'm excited for this. Man, that looked badass, didn't it?
It looked so good.
Yeah, it looked good.
I mean, that's how excited we get with these stupid one-shot photos. It's crazy. Hey, we got some other news, and this is something I've alluded to before. Big news here. So Chloe Bennett, if you guys don't know who Chloe Bennett is, Chloe Bennett played Quake in the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show on ABC.
Smoke show.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the show had six or seven. It was on TV for
a long time,
6 or 7 seasons. And that ended, I believe, their last season may have been 2019 or 2020. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe spring of 2020.
When the big takeover happened and they got rid of
Yeah, and Kevin Feige has come out and said, you know, publicly that all the Marvel television shows are really not canon. Like the Marvel, what was called Marvel TV. So that was all the stuff on ABC.
Yeah.
Right? At which Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was one of them. Now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., funny enough, if anybody could be canon, I mean, Nick Fury ended up, he was on that show at one point in time. One of the biggest characters on that show was, you know, Agent Coulson, who was in the original Avengers movie.
He was the main character.
Right. He was the main character of that show in many different forms. And actually, the last season, he was a life model decoy.
Yeah. All connected.
Anyway.
That was their motto for a while. It's all connected.
Right. And they based that show on what was going on in the movie. So I don't know how it's not canon, because the year that Captain America and the Winter Soldier came out, and that was like a big downfall. The S.H.I.E.L.D. organization had been infiltrated by Hydra. And
they
on the TV
show
they did the same thing. The show was called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they brought down the entire, basically, agency of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. and said it got infiltrated by Hydra. It was crazy. So the fact that they came out and said it wasn't canon was anyway. But anyway, the show had its run and it's done. Chloe Bennett was one of the big stars of that show. She had been cast to play a character in a CW show based on the Powerpuff Girls,
yes,
right?
A live-action Powerpuff Girls series.
So Powerpuff Girls cartoon from, you know, several years ago.
Yeah.
Three superpowered females, you know, with different powers. She was going to be playing a character on that show, on the CW. She has left that show because of what's been now termed a scheduling conflict.
Correct.
Right? And so now there's this rumor out there of, well, does this mean she's going to be reprising her role as Quake in a Disney Plus series, potentially Secret Invasion? We understand S.H.I.E.L.D. is playing a huge role
in Secret Invasion
because Nick Fury is going to be one of the main characters of the Secret Invasion Disney Plus show. And S.H.I.E.L.D. supposedly is going to be playing a big role in that. So why not bring back some familiar faces from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show? Which would be great, because that show did well, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Typically, the trades will say it's a scheduling conflict because she's involved in a movie with Fox or Sony or things like that. They didn't say anything.
And
it's been tight-lipped.
Here's the other thing. I don't know if you saw this. So Elizabeth Henstridge, who played Agent Simmons on that show, another Smoke show, she recently moved into a house in California, I want to say, and was tweeting like, just moved in, not staying long, you know, and people were asking her, is this meeting you're still in the MCU? And she kind of did the emoji that's the smiley face with the hush sign, you know?
Right.
And so supposedly she's, you know, they're filming a lot of Secret Invasion in London, and she was talking about, I have to go back to London, you know, and... So she's now, and so now the two of them, both having been on that television show, potentially now being part of Secret, which is just starting filming. I mean, they're literally going to start filming that show really quick soon.
Greg Clark has always been a
Clark
huge,
Greg?
Clark, oh, I'm sorry, did I, anorexia? Or,
yeah.
No, not anorexia.
Clark Gregg is his name.
Yeah, totally backwards, right?
Yeah.
Clark Gregg, he's always been a big
This is
supporter.
Agent Coulson, the guy who, the
Agent
Coulson, actor plays
the
Agent
actor
Coulson.
Plays, yeah, I'm sorry. Big fan of the MCU, always tweeting out stuff, always putting up, retweeting, following all kinds of Marvel stuff. I would not be surprised if he's in that as well.
Well, I don't know how much of that show you watched in the last few seasons, but what they did with his character in that show, like he was not like Coulson has not been in that show, like the actual physical version of Coulson for like four seasons.
Yeah.
It's been an alternate reality version of him from some other reality. And then like, it was a like spiritual advisor. And then he was like a life model decoy. I mean, literally so the Agent Coulson and the show was founded on the fact that he was brought back to life by the Kree.
Right.
Or by Kree blood.
Kree blood.
Right.
Instead of Hawaii.
Right. Or,
Tahiti.
Tahiti. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, but all good news. Look, if we're again, we talked about this with the Netflix characters. If they take some of our favorite actors and actresses from the Netflix shows and
please
bring
do.
Them back,
please do.
If they do it from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm happy with that because there were some good characters. The guy who played Mac, the big big character, Mac.
Yeah.
He was awesome. Guy who played Fitz on the show was awesome.
Awesome. Brilliant actor.
Yeah. So, I mean, bring some of those guys back.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Especially
awesome.
The smoke shows.
Of course. All right. You got some Morbius news, right? So.
Yeah. Apparently, the director, Morbius director, teased that Eddie Brock was going to be a cameo in the Morbius.
Well, we already know
Venom
that,
is going to be a cameo.
Well, we already know we got a cameo in that movie from
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah. There's the Spider-Man ties, right?
But so he's now claiming that Eddie Brock is going to be. And so this asks the question. I still don't understand why that movie's been delayed as much as it has.
So I think we talked about it last time, right? They pushed it back
to October March. 3rd. Yeah, it's to March of next year.
Oh, no. You're talking about Morbius.
Right. Morbius is March. I don't know why they're continuing to delay. Why they delayed Morbius till March of next year?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be out March of last year.
Venom they pushed back to October 3rd.
That's another piece of news that we haven't gotten to yet. But yes, they pushed. That was an announcement that made this week. Venom has been officially pushed back to October 3rd. It was now there was going to be mid September, right? And then they just pushed it back 3 weeks.
Yeah, mid September, and they pushed it back 3 weeks.
Which is not surprising. I mean. Again, we talked about that last week when they gave us the trailer, new trailer for it. They didn't have a release date, and we thought that meant, we're probably going to get a little bit of a delay. So it's October, which is fine. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
3 weeks is nothing.
It's not that bad, but still, it makes me nervous when they push anything back.
Right, but the fact that we haven't gotten Morbius, that movie was supposed to be out last March, was delayed a full year, and then they delayed it again another year. So
yeah,
it didn't come out
this
year.
Which tells me that the cameos are non-relevant to the storyline.
Or maybe they are relevant and they're, I mean, again, we talked about Tyrese Gibson coming out and saying, hey, Morbius is in the MCU and maybe they don't want that news coming out until Venom 2 comes out, which isn't in the MCU, but might be
later.
At the end, right?
Okay.
So who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. And then I do have some news to talk about the Spider-Man trailer. We've all been talking about that Spider-Man trailer's not out. You know, Spider-Man No Way Home, when that trailer is going to come out, is it going to delay the movie? What's happening? I feel at this point in time, at a minimum, we are going to get that in the theaters with Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi is going to have Spider-Man No Way Home as a theatrical trailer in front of that movie. I feel that I'm fairly confident saying that. The question is, are we going to get it ahead of time? It's very unlikely, and hasn't happened that much recently, where trailers debut during theatrical releases. They kind of get released
online
a few days earlier, and then we get to see them in the big screen. We go see that movie.
Why do you think that is? Do you think because they're judged by views?
I think it's a way for the trailer for a movie to help boost ticket sales to a movie that's coming in the theaters. So if you saw the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer 4 days in advance of the Shang-Chi movie coming out.
Right.
Would it make you more or less likely to see Shang-Chi in the theaters, knowing that you were going to get that trailer with it in the theaters?
And I saw it beforehand.
You had already seen it, but you're like, oh, I get to see this big screen?
Well, big screen, yeah. I think it would be more impactful if the first time I saw it was in the theater.
True.
I think it would sell more tickets if it... Let's put it this way. I wouldn't buy a ticket just to see a trailer.
No.
Right?
But you're like more hyped about seeing
it. I'm more hyped about seeing it and going to the theater to see it on the big screen first time, not in online.
But I think it's impossible to get the word out to everybody that trailer will be on that movie before the movie's released.
I think word of mouth would tell people that, hey,
go see the movie because we're going to have that trailer.
No, I just think, oh my God, I saw the Spider-Man trailer.
So here's what I'm getting at. I mean, the point is, we do have an event the week before Shang-Chi is supposed to come out. I believe it's August 23rd. It's like a Monday. Mm-hmm. Is CinemaCon.
Okay.
And the CinemaCon event is the keynote speaker for CinemaCon is Sony. They're the first company coming out to speak at CinemaCon. Okay. CinemaCon is all about movies. And they're not going to go out there and just talk about Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage. They're not going to go out there and talk about Morbius, which we've seen.
Pushed back till next year.
Right, pushed back. They're going to have something new to talk about. I have a feeling that either they're going to release, and CinemaCon is not open to public. It's invite only. It's for media.
Okay.
Okay.
Where's my ticket? I didn't. Right. Did you get your ticket?
No, no. It's in the mail.
I'm sure.
So what I feel like either they're going to release that trailer during CinemaCon and we'll get it online the same day. Like, we just showed this to the press. We have to show it to you. I think that that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
And then they're going to be talking about. Professor. Yeah. I just think it'd be great if CinemaCon was where they release this trailer. I mean, and because Sony's doing the keynote speech. I mean, they got to show something new.
That would be a huge get for Sony.
Yeah.
To be able to bust ass with the Spider-Man trailer.
So if we don't get it that Monday the 23rd, if we don't get it at all, that tells me they're. And again, we alluded to this earlier. Kevin Feige is basically running the promotion for Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah.
Disney is now in charge of that promotion, not Sony. If we don't get it during CinemaCon, how do we not get it with Shang-Chi? I just don't get it. How do we not get it?
We get it.
Yeah.
I think we get it. I said that before. I think it comes out.
If we don't, it means that movie's being delayed.
Ugh. I get it. I agree with you.
But when do they delay it? That pushes back
everything, the whole list.
That pushes back Doctor Strange if they do.
It pushes back the whole list.
Yeah.
It pushes back the whole, except for Eternals, because I think that's a standalone.
No, that's a done deal. Yeah, that's a standalone. That's coming out in November no matter what. Yeah, they can't sit on that one anymore.
No.
All right. Well, let's jump into our top of the week. And of course, our top of the week this week is brought to you by Studio G, G Studios.
Studio G, G Studios, you our know, boys.
And if you want to see Titanium in a music video for Sensitive Timmy, go to Studio G, G Studios.
Yeah.
Check them out. Check out their new single, Sensitive Timmy.
Yep.
And you might get a little sneak peek of Titanium
I'm in there.
Tony.
I'm on there. I'm in it. So Corn on the Cob, the man band, go check them out. Sensitive Timmy. I'm part of that video. It's awesome.
All right. Thanks, Studio G. So, top of the week this week, I gave you a mission. I want you to choose your top five superpowers.
So hard.
Now, I'm going to put some caveats behind this. And you might need to edit your list a little bit.
Damn it.
And you asked me this question specifically. And this is, what makes superheroes super is that most of them have more than one of these powers.
Okay.
In combination.
Oh, shit. I didn't do that.
So, and no, what I'm saying is that's what makes them super.
Okay.
An example would be Superman has the ability to fly, super strength, frost breath. He can shoot lasers out of his eyes and he's invulnerable.
Yeah.
So that's like five different superpowers that Superman has.
Okay.
Five different ones.
Yeah.
And that's why he's Superman, because he has five different superpowers.
Yeah.
But if I said, okay, which of those superpowers is one of your top five, or how many of them are, that's the difference.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that most of our superheroes have more than one superpower.
They do.
But we're just talking about the superpowers themselves. And the real kind of concept behind this is, what if you were given the opportunity to have one superpower? What would you want it to be?
Wow.
And I think some superpowers could make you a superhero by themselves, and some may not. But they'd still be pretty special and could make you pretty powerful.
Yeah, of course. I mean, hey, if you're listening, put in the comments your five. Go ahead and put in your comments or tweet us and put them in.
Titanium and I are going to go through our list and we're going to go.
Starting at five, right?
Go to five and we're going to snake it. So why don't you start with your number five and then I'll do my five and four. And then you do your four and three. Then I'll do my three and two. And then we'll kind of get down to number one.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So give me your five.
My number five is super speed.
Okay.
Like flash-like speed.
Like being fast as all get out.
Fast. Almost to the like
and super speed could be classified as, okay, does Usain Bolt have super speed? No. He just has to be the fastest human on the planet.
Correct.
But he's not.
I'm talking flash-type speed.
Flash. Quicksilver, you know, this is, hey, you can run around
speed.
You can run around the world in, you know, a matter of minutes, let alone, you know,
super speeds, using the speed force to go back in time. This, you know, super speed.
It's a, and again, this, to my earlier point, that's power in itself could make you a superhero. Like, if you were that fast, you could be a superhero simply because you're that fast. You don't need any other superpowers. That super speed in itself could make you a superhero.
I get it now. Yeah.
That is a good example of somebody who has, like, Quicksilver. What is his superpower? He's super fast. Yeah. Does he need any others? No.
No.
He's just really fast.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
So that's a really good example of one that really can kind of stand on its own.
Yeah.
And I think it's on my list. It's not number five, but it is on my list.
Very All good. Right.
My number five, I think is a very fun one. Animal transmogrification. So think of Beast Boy.
Okay.
The ability to change yourself into any other animal.
Beastmaster, Beast Boy, there's several.
The
of
Wonder
them.
Twins.
Wonder Twins, right. Well, one of them could only turn into like elements. So
yeah, one was, exactly. One was elements, one was animals. But, yeah. You know, you can transfer, you can change yourself to be any animal out there, any animal, right? Yes. And just think of
the very similar to shape-shifting, but in the animal world.
Right, but it's animal transmogrification, but not just, yeah, shape-shifting, like you said. So that would be different. So we'll use, what's her name?
Like a scroll.
Raven.
Raven.
Yeah, from the X-Men.
Oh, okay.
What's her name? Mystique. She can shape-shift, so she can change herself to be other people. Right. I'm more of like the animal side of that. Like, okay, you can become any animal. And think about that. If you can become any animal in nature, there's a lot of application out there of like, well, gosh, that could really do a lot of different things. I could fly if I need to.
I'd fuck it up.
I could swim if I need to.
I get it.
You know,
I'd fuck it up. But I'd become a fly just to get into a tight spot and somebody would swat me. It'd be horrible. I'd become a fish.
And that's happened.
To swim or something. And then somebody would catch me, hook me, and I'd be done. I don't know. Or eaten by a bigger fish. I'd fuck that up.
Why would you become a fish and not an apex predator? Apex predator like a an orca. You know, there's nothing that hunts an orca.
Damn, scary. Those things are scary.
All right, but that's my number five.
I like it. That's a good one.
My number four, and again, by itself, interesting, would be flight. The ability to fly. And, you know, the speed at which you can fly could vary. You know, whether you can fly super fast or you can just fly. Hey, you could just hover and fly anywhere. That in itself would be a cool superpower, right?
Yeah, that would be.
And there was a show, and you probably remember this because we're nerds like that, on NBC probably like 10, 12 years ago now called Heroes.
Yeah.
Remember Heroes?
Yeah.
And there was one guy who that was his super. All he could do was fly. He could fly. And he wasn't super strong, wasn't super fat. You know, he had no other power. All he could do was fly. But the flight itself was kind of, he could get certain places and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But flight itself, not only would be cool. fun as hell. And again, a lot of the heroes that we know and love, flight is something they can do. But it's only one part of what
Correct.
They can do.
Yeah.
It's not what makes them special.
Right.
But I think
But as a human, to be able to fly is special.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, from a transportation perspective, be able to go wherever you want to, whenever you want to.
That's pretty cool.
Right. That's pretty cool. But like I said, we'd probably fuck it up. We'd be flying into power lines and, you know, all kinds of other shit that we don't even know about.
I'd botch the landing for sure.
All right. What's your number four? Titanium?
Super strength.
Okay.
Super strength. Like just being strong, like super strong.
Yeah. So we're not just talking about like, you know, elite class weightlifter strong. We're talking about, you know, being able to press a bus over your head or pick up a tank.
Punch through an absolute 4-foot cement wall. Punch right through it.
Right. Just
super strong. Yeah.
Just smashing it.
Smashing it. Yep.
And that just being that strong in itself would, again, not only have practical applications, but I think that power in itself could make you a superhero. Right. Yeah. The fact that you are that strong could allow you to do things that most people could not do. And in certain scenarios, you could be a hero. You could, you know.
I have it at number four, but to be honest with you, I am pretty strong as it is. So Titanium's got super strength already. So I threw it at number four to throw everybody off, but wink, wink, nod, nod. Got it.
Yeah. All right. So what's number three on your list?
Telekinesis.
Yeah.
Be able to move
shit
with
your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say, you know, sitting here and you need a beer, you just like pick one up out of the fridge and it comes floating over.
Move
to you.
Stuff and be able to manipulate objects with your mind.
Now, here's a question. Do you think that power should scale the difficulty of moving things with your mind should scale based on size or mass? So should you be able to move a tank as easily as you move a paperclip? Or should it be harder to move the tank than it is to move the paperclip?
I think you develop the telekinesis to be able to move
bigger
a planet.
Things.
You know, Jean Grey.
Yeah.
You know, but she was infused with the Phoenix Force.
Well, that's kind of how. Yeah.
A little different. But, yeah, tank would be in the realm. You know, a planet,
but like, it
no.
Should, what I'm saying is like...
The sun, the moon, no.
Right.
But it would take more effort
training,
on my part.
Training or
it just take more physical effort
right.
to
effort.
Move a tank than a paperclip. You know, to bring a beer from the refrigerator upstairs down here to my hand.
Yeah.
Not a lot of effort.
Right.
I could do it very seamlessly and right. not even break a sweat.
Now, should you be able have to see what you're moving with your mind?
Negative.
To be able to move
no.
It? Really?
No.
You
just think
really?
About it. Well, I think you need to think about like the area that you're in, you know, or what you're moving. But,
so you could just say, like, right outside, oh, I'm going to pick that car up outside and move it somewhere.
Again,
even seeing
the further
it.
Away you move something, the harder it is physically.
Because that's
training.
Always been, like, the limitation with telekinesis is that if you can't see it, you can't manipulate it, mm-hmm. right? And that, like, I can't just say, Barack Obama's sitting in his house right now. Let me just lift him up off his chair and spin him around 360 degrees and put him back down. Why, how and why should I be able to do that?
Wow, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
I get
should
it.
You be have to see what you're... I think you should, right?
Okay, that's a good limitation.
That's another limitation,
I'll take that.
Right? You
if
have to
I
be able to
see
it.
If I see a building falling, I could stop it. It would take a lot.
But you can just like hear about a building falling
and
decide
it.
To stop it.
Okay, I'll take that.
Okay.
Still cool.
I like that, though. Yeah, that superpower is very cool. All right. Let me get back into my list here.
Okay.
My number three... is super speed.
Okay.
Like we said before, I think that power in itself could make you a hero.
Cool.
And I mean, if that were all I had, I mean, I'd be finished. I'm done. Good. Give it to me. I'm done. Finished.
I know you're a huge fan of The Flash. That's,
oh, he's one of my favorite characters ever. Yeah. And again, what I like about The Flash character is he's imbued with super speed, doesn't really know and understand it too well, but he knows he can... move really fast.
Yeah.
And I love the way that they've chosen to portray that in the movies and the television show is that when he's moving that fast, he's moving at normal speed, but everybody else and everything else is in slow motion.
Yeah.
I love the way they've portrayed that in television and movies.
Yeah.
They did it in the Justice League movie, but they've done it on the Flash TV show for years now, where when he's moving that fast, he's just like walking around normally and everybody's just kind of like frozen and moving really slowly. And that's how that shows how fast he's moving. Right.
One of the
and
greatest
they
did that, scenes
ever. Quicksilver scene in X-Men First Class.
Yep.
Or was it the second movie? Oh, it was Days of Future Past.
Actually, it was in both. They did.
No, that scene. Yeah,
oh, yeah. They did two scenes.
But the second one was
when he's going through the mansion.
Yes,
all the
that one
out.
Was not Days of Future Past. It was the one right after that. Apocalypse. X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
But yes.
Totally cool scenes.
Oh, when he was rescuing everybody out of the X-Mansion.
The greatest scenes ever.
Oh, yeah.
Those two scenes, him in the kitchen downstairs.
Quicksilver
when
we're talking about.
Quicksilver, yeah.
That was Evan Peters' version of Quicksilver. Yeah. Right. Yes, but those powers by itself, all you need to be super.
That's
right?
Your number three. What's your number two?
Super strength. So I think,
okay.
like you said, and I agree, I think that power by itself could make you a hero as well. I mean, you could, you know, hey, you know, the president called you, hey, we've got a bridge, you know, just fell in Ohio. Can you come over and pick it up and help us save like hundreds of people? Or a building collapsed. Can you help just like pick this building up and we can
move
save all
right
these people?
Away.
Right. I mean, you can by yourself by being strong. You could do that.
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah. All right. So what is your number two?
Healing power.
So the ability to just
heal.
So some level of invulnerability or healing. So healing. You're just like you get cut by a knife and you heal.
Heal
so healing, the healing factor of Wolverine, for example.
Okay, yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes. The healing factor of Wolverine and Deadpool.
Yes.
Yes.
So the healing,
like
any
I like
injury
losing a hand
from,
and growing a new one.
Cut your hand off, your hand, new hand grows.
Immediately,
okay.
Yeah. Not immediately, but yeah.
Alcohol doesn't affect you.
Right. Yeah, your metabolism is probably off the charts.
Right. Process it too quickly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that is a very cool power.
Yeah.
Now, does that power by itself make you a hero? Like, what could you use that for? Like, give me a practical use of a healing factor.
Okay. Somebody's being holding up a bank. I could walk into that bank, get shot, and still subdue them.
Well, so that's one of the, I'll say, the downsides of even Wolverine and Deadpool's powers is they still feel pain.
Yeah.
And it still disables them to some extent for a period of time. So if you get shot by, you know, 100 bullets, you're going to have the pain of 100 bullets going through your body, and then your body will, you know, heal eventually, but you're going to be like the force if it's going to affect you.
Pain is just the mindset, bro. Pain is just the mindset. And remember this.
And that's like, what made Wolverine such a badass is because
he could deal with the pain.
He would take the pain and he'd use it. He'd like, oh, I'm giving it back to you like 10 times now.
It's like my tattoo artist says, you know, physical pain heals a lot quicker than emotional pain.
True.
That is true.
No, it's true.
Right? So
very true. All right. What's your number one?
Chaos magic.
I love it. So you're just like, give me Scarlet Witch, Chaos Magic.
Give me the Chaos Magic.
I want to be the Scarlet Witch. I want to have Chaos Magic and be able to just...
Yes, sir.
Have magic and magically do whatever the F I want.
Chaos Magic.
Transmogrify things. I can move things with my
mind. Arguably one of the strongest superheroes, Avengers, arguably, in one of the strongest beings in the world, correct?
Yeah.
So...
I've got one that'll trump it, though.
Oh,
so my chaos power magic would take your power and laugh at it.
Go ahead.
My number one is telepathy. If I could...
Mind control.
Right. Two sides. Reading minds and controlling minds, right? So we talked about telekinesis before, being able to move stuff with your mind. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think Professor X is one of the most underrated. Why does Magneto have a metal helmet? Because he doesn't want Professor X controlling his mind, because he knows he controls his mind. He controlled Magneto and all correct the powers that Magneto has, right?
Right.
And again, great. I'm pleased that you have Chaos Magic. I'd like to use that. Could I borrow that, please? Let me do some things with you, right?
But what if I'm wearing the helmet of Magneto?
No. We didn't say.
I'm just saying. What if I had Magneto's helmet?
Yeah. I would.
Cool.
I
think that's a... Yeah, Professor X.
It's underrated.
It is.
It is so underrated. And again, I think one of the most brilliant things that Jack Kirby and Stan Lee did when they created Professor X was put him in a wheelchair. Because they were like, this guy's mind is one of the most powerful minds in the universe.
Isolated.
And what makes him special is his mind. Yeah. It has nothing to do with his physicality and his ability to walk or do anything else. He's in a wheelchair. But he might be one of the most dangerous and most powerful people on the planet because he can read everybody's mind. So he can tell you what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And he can actually tell you what to do with what you're thinking. Yeah. Right. So
control you.
I just think that for me, and again, that by itself would make you a superhero.
Oh,
you
no
can
question
control anybody. You can read anybody's mind. And I think the downside to that is, and you saw this in some of the shows that have had this, characters that have had this, being overwhelmed by those thoughts and being sure overwhelmed by those voices, like the ability to turn it off would be incredibly important. Maybe you need Magneto's helmet to put on your head at night so you can just sleep.
Right.
Because you got all these thoughts running through your head, right? So
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Good list, though,
Titanium.
That's
a great list. Great list.
All right. We got a listener question this week.
We do. From Peyton St. Laurent asked a question. And why is it that our Asgardians become more powerful as they get older?
More powerful or stronger?
Stronger.
I don't think they do. Okay. I think, from what I understand, all Asgardians have some level of enhanced genetics that right give them super abilities beyond what normal humans have.
Right.
So, for example, I think they're all a little super strong. Right. I think they're all a little super or have enhanced vulnerability. So, you know, example is Loki gets slammed up and down on the ground by the Hulk in Avengers, and you know, he survives that. Whereas you and I would have, you know, collapsed like a toothpick.
Oh
right?
yeah,
would have squished. So there's some level of you know tolerance to injury there. There's some super healing as part of their DNA.
Are all Asgardians gods, or is it just the royal family that were gods?
I think all Asgardians in general share some level of enhanced strength,
okay,
speed, durability, healing,
okay,
and longevity, lifespan.
Right.
So I think they all have that.
Okay.
Now, the royal family, or the gods, or that, from what we understand, have higher levels of each of those in certain areas.
Okay.
Right. So, for example, Thor is one of the strongest Asgardians.
Right.
Does his long life make him strong? No. But being an Asgardian gives him long life. Now, the very unlike the Greek gods, who are immortal. Uh-huh. The Greek gods are immortal. The Asgardians are not functionally immortal, but they have an extended life, okay, right? So they can live for many more years, like thousands of years.
Thousands of years.
Talk to Thor, says he's, 3,000 years old or whatever. But they're also, in Norse mythology and even in the comic books, destined to die every few thousand years because Ragnarok continues to repeat. So Ragnarok is the destruction of Asgard and the entire, Asgardian race, and then they get reborn again. So that's right. It's supposed to happen every few thousand years. Even the comics, was destined to do it. Now, in the comic books, Thor was able to break that cycle, and that's what he did. He was able to make a bargain to break the Ragnarok cycle so that the Asgardians would have to keep going through that every few thousand years. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't think their long life gives them more strength. I think they have longevity in life because they're Asgardian by themselves. And they're strong because they're Asgardian. Like, an Asgardian on Earth would be stronger than a human.
Got it.
But also, Asgardians on Earth aren't as strong as they are on Asgard. So that's another kind of trade-off. Like, when they come to Earth, they lose a little bit of their
strength.
Asgardian
abilities.
Abilities, right. It's very like cool. Superman going back to Krypton. He wouldn't be as strong as he is here on Earth.
The sun gives him.
Right, yeah. Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Peyton, for the question. That was a great question.
Thank you, Peyton. Appreciate it. I hear the bell ringing, Professor.
Yeah, let's do it. It's been a long one this week. So that's it for us. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up, supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or at supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.